Welcome to the worship from Daleville Christian Church. This is the God's Word portion of the worship and this week, which included Veterans Day here in the United States. As I'll mention, usually preachers will focus on loyalty or faithfulness or courage, but this sermon does not. I'll explain where the focus is for today. But I believe you will want to hear the message today from Matthew's Gospel. But we begin with an affirmation of our faith, which we have for this week from 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reading of God's Word for today, as I mentioned, is from Matthew's Gospel in the 8th chapter, the 5th through the 13th verses. You may find this report familiar to you. When Jesus was confronted by a soldier, a captain, and a captain of 100 men, hence his title, centurion. And we begin in verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. As I mentioned, this past week included Veterans Day, and I hope that you have already noticed the notes in the bulletin about me and about veterans of Daleville Christian Church. I have always been aware that when I speak or preach on Veterans Day or Memorial Day, I never served in America's armed forces. I never served in any country's armed forces. Therefore, I always try to share one of two things. When the Bible speaks directly about soldiers or speaks to soldiers, I will preach about that. When veterans and POWs write or speak, I listen to them and share what they said. I mention this because I try to find other preachers' sermons on Veterans Day. It was a hard search. As I mentioned, usually American preachers will focus on loyalty or faithfulness or courage. I wasn't very successful on finding other sermons on Veterans Day. One website claimed to have the trendiest sermons for Veterans Day. I didn't see any sermons that mentioned soldiers or sailors or air forces or even the National Guard. None of the preachers claimed to be veterans, although I have a book of sermons from an Army chaplain. That chaplain didn't get on that website sermon list either. So I should probably apologize to veterans for American preachers' poor performances in trying to bring faith and service and America together. I believe this sermon may speak to combat trauma survivors or any trauma survivors, whether it be military trauma trauma from natural disaster, or trauma from personal assault. I've shared with you at least two sermons, maybe three, from the writings of Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini was an American Olympic runner. One amazing part of his story was that he qualified for the Olympics before he went to college. Even today, Zamperini remains the youngest American to qualify in the 5,000-meter track and field event. The 5K run is 3.1 miles. One other bit of Olympics trivia. Although Zamperini didn't win a medal at the 1936 Berlin Olympics, Zamperini used his usual tactic to save energy to sprint near the end of the race. So Zamperini's last lap of the track was faster than any other runner's single lap in the race. So Zamperini's last lap of the track, faster than any other runner's single lap, and Adolf Hitler, who saw it firsthand, insisted that he meet Zamperini to shake Zamperini's hand. Louis Zamperini served in the Army, Air Force, and World War II in the Pacific Theater. He set another record. This record was a record no one wanted. The longest to survive while lost at sea. Three of the crew members from Zamperini's plane survived their plane crash. One of the men died on day 33, lost at sea. When Zamperini and his other crew member were found on day 47, it was the Japanese who found him. He was a prisoner of war in four POW camps for over 2 years. For whatever reason, an especially savage camp guard had it in for Louis Zamperini. That camp guard was evil enough to rate General MacArthur's 40 most wanted Japanese war criminals. By the way, Louis Zamperini would be a runner carrying the Olympic torch in Nagano, Japan in 1998 at the age of 81. He wanted to meet his former tormentor from the POW camp for the purposes of forgiving him face to face. Zamperini's tormentor refused to meet with Louis Zamperini. As you might imagine, Louis Zamperini prayed a lot while lost at sea. Yet Zamperini reports that he was lost after the war, which we all now recognize as post-traumatic stress disorder. But Zamperini gives credit to Jesus and the Billy Graham Crusades for saving Zamperini from the path that Louis Zamperini was on. But I've talked enough about Louis Zamperini. Let's hear what Louis Zamperini has to say from his books. By the way, Louis Zamperini died in 2014 at the age of 97. Louis Zamperini wrote, "Deciding to devote your life to God does not mean instantaneous, nonstop happiness." I don't know if I need to repeat that for American Christians. Zamperini continued, "After devoting my life to God, hard work lay ahead. I fought despondency and doubt and tried to come to terms with what had happened to me." Louis Zamperini learned that not all war casualties are physical losses. Some prisoners lose hope. Some think that they are losing their minds, and some may have lost faith. But as the well-known report of Jesus speaking to a heathen Roman captain of soldiers whose servant Jesus healed, faith is possible, even faith in Jesus Christ. We might notice, as Louis Zamperini did through his harrowing survival of being lost at sea and being lost in the POW camp because his family had been told to presume that Louis Zamperini was dead, Louis did what was necessary to survive: kill birds and eat them, fight sharks, learn to fish, eat them raw. But the skills it took to survive as a soldier lost at sea or a POW were of little help to Louis Zamperini once the war was over and Zamperini went home to his family. free at home, Louis Zamperini needed a different skill set. My first cousin probably suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder after his tour in Vietnam. My cousin, having learned to survive in Vietnam, did not know how to live again in the United States. My cousin never learned skills that would help him thrive after he had survived. My cousin would be married 5 more times to 5 different women after his first marriage fell apart. Survival is not the key to thriving in a new environment. In the great United States, Louis didn't need to catch seabirds and eat them raw. Near the end of Louis's life, he wrote, "Of all the wonderful results of changing my life, perhaps the best is my ability to forgive." When Zamperini returned to Japan, he wrote that even though he had made peace with his past, and those in his past, that is, in my past, I was again surprised that no bitterness remained in my heart. Forgiveness had been the healing factor. The healing factor, wrote Louis Zamperini. And here I would add a reminder, sometimes, Christian, as hard as it can be, you may also have to learn to forgive yourself. Louis Zamperini wrote that he left his old life behind and began a new life in Jesus Christ. But let's hear from other veterans who discovered that surviving the war wasn't enough for surviving the peace. This is from the section of the book that I've mentioned to you before, entitled The Survivor's Club, and the chapter is entitled Your Survival Toolkit. Page 317, faith. Faith is the most powerful and universal survival tool. Your faith means that God has a plan, and usually God will look after you. I would add that as Christians, you already know that God has worked to save you through Jesus, and Jesus said that we are of more value than many birds. In tough times, you are less afraid because God loves you and will always care for you. In a crisis, faith gives you remarkable power to prevail. You don't worship a distant God who is up there somewhere. You worship a God who came to earth to get you. And by virtue of coming right up alongside of us in Jesus, God demonstrates love, care, accessibility, and availability, and our Lord has even had many of the same experiences as other human beings. Jesus was beaten, tortured, and killed by authorities. Dr. Harold Koenig wrote in his book, The Healing Power of Faith, "This is a God who listens to your prayers, who responds and desires the best for his creation, including you." The section entitled Faith finishes by saying, "Faith is your greatest comfort and mightiest weapon." Ben Sherwood wrote that in his book, The Survivor's Club. Ben Sherwood begins his book at the U.S. Military's Aviation Survival Training Center. Another expert is a woman whose name I'm not sure I can pronounce. Her first name is either Belaruth or Belruth Napersteck. She's a psychotherapist whose goal is to help victims of post-traumatic stress disorder. In describing post-traumatic stress disorder, one of her examples is a Vietnam veteran. But Dr. Belaruth includes others as trauma survivors. Survivors of serious death-threatening illness, hurricane survivors, molestation victims, auto accident victims, near-drowning victims. In chapter 15, Dr. Belaruth lists 10 ingredients for comprehensive healing. Number 5, some form of regular prayer. Some ritual for connection in matters of the spirit or spiritual. Do I need to repeat that? 10 things we can all do for our own healing from trauma, even the trauma of combat. Prayer. Dr. Bella Ruth describes in her book a program designed to help war veterans. Her book was written almost 20 years ago, so the veterans were all Vietnam veterans, but the program is a 13-week inpatient program for groups of 8 people. The group sessions end with prayer. The group aspects of the therapy reminds the veterans that they are not crazy, that many veterans experience the very same crazy-making symptoms as they have, and that is the nature of post-traumatic stress disorder. The final task for the veterans is to go as a group to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., the program's in Virginia. There at the Vietnam Memorial, the veterans recommit to themselves their own lives by writing promises to improve their lives and stop self-destructive behaviors. Many also leave letters by the names of those who are their fallen comrades. Another program for Dr. Bella Ruth describes helps save survivors of the war in Kosovo. Their training includes walking meditation. The program also trains other health professionals with the goal to bring the healing of mind, body, and spirit into the lives of the people of Kosovo, healing the wounds of war. As one website states clearly, not all wounds are visible. I always remind any audience at a Veterans or Memorial Day service that even of those men and women who returned from the areas of conflict, not all parts of those service people returned with them. Healing is needed here, just as much as any veteran who lost hand, arm, leg, feet, eyes, or ears to any explosive device. As a result of her work, Dr. Bella Ruth has a very different definition of hero than most people. When a combat veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder forces himself to interview for a job, even though he wants to run off and it takes every ounce of will, courage, and determination he or she has got to override the intense fear and shame they feel, emotions that make no sense to them and cause them to question their sanity, that is heroism. But don't take my word for it. I'm not a veteran. Listen to the people who work with veterans. Listen to the veterans, even the heathen captain of soldiers, who stood before Jesus convinced that Jesus would not need to come to his deathly ill slave. This heathen foreigner who had conquered Jesus' people humbled himself to ask a Jewish rabbi to help his slave get well and recover. A captain of soldiers who probably prided himself of not needing anyone to help him. The military man put aside his weapon and asked a local holy man for a healing, healing someone who was the captain's social inferior, the captain's slave. And the captain stated forthrightly that Jesus could do it right from where Jesus stood. The captain would not request the local holy man to violate this rabbi's people's rules of piety to help him. It wouldn't be necessary to come to the house of a Roman Gentile. That was this soldier's faith in Jesus, faith in the power of Jesus. This was his moment of prayer to Jesus to help. And Jesus would respond. Jesus would respond that not even among Jesus' own people had Jesus yet seen such faith as this heathen infidel spoke that day. And you know how the report ends. Matthew 8:13. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was at that moment healed. You can take the word of these veterans and of that veteran that day. Amen.